John 21, I'm going to encourage you to come back tonight as well, and we're talking about the forgiveness tonight, and I think that's a much-needed subject to discuss, forgiveness. You say, preacher, we know about forgiveness, but do we really know all about forgiveness? Amen? I'm going to talk about that tonight as the topic of our discussion and the preaching tonight, and so we look forward to that. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. We're going to read those together. And trust God to work in our midst. Starting a series this morning, and the series is entitled, In Times Like These. In Times Like These. Chapter 21, and let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 together. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. You know, today as we approach our Independence Day celebrations, I'm reminded of the freedoms that we enjoy as a nation. I'm also reminded that this was a nation founded upon its belief in God as our creator, but not just as our creator, as our redeemer, and also as our savior. And he's the savior of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. Our nation's founding fathers had a firm conviction about God when they penned the Declaration of Independence years ago. However, have you noticed that times have changed? And the political arena is different than it was back when our founding fathers penned the Declaration of Independence. In changing times like these, we see our laws changing. We see our nation's values are changing. We see our political candidates are changing. And we see the morality in America is changing too. In changing times like these, Christians should also be changing, but into more Christ-likeness and not less. What are we to do in changing times like these is the subject matter in our series of Sunday's messages. The disciples that we just read about, you find them in changing times as well. Their Messiah, Jesus Christ, has been crucified and buried, and he has already commissioned them, and they are going fishing with the changing times that are at hand. Now is not the time for Christians to go fishing, unless we're fishing for men. Now is the time to actually get in and dig in with our fingers and get the job done in spite of the changing times that we find ourselves in right now. Now, I don't like what's going on any more than you probably in America right now. But I do know this, that God left us here for a reason. And he did say this, occupy till I come. He did say, go and teach all nations. He did say, preach the gospel to every creature. He did tell us we would receive power. And so this morning is going to be the introduction to a series of messages that I'm going to preach about what the Christian is to do in times like these. Our Father, thank you once again that we can look at the disciples and see that they are much like we. Lord, it's so easy to get frustrated when things don't go the way we plan and when things happen out of our purview and don't look the way we think they ought to look. And God, as the disciples said that they would go fishing and several of them went away, they caught nothing because that's not what you called them to do. Lord Jesus, I pray that today our hearts would be arrested to the times in which we live. The political scene in which we see, the morality scene that we see, how men and women are living together, not married, children are born out of wedlock, homosexuality is on the rise, lesbianism and bestiality and things of that nature are just running rampant, and Lord, the Christian is in times like these. Lord, I'm not saying that our times are any worse than they were at any other biblical time, but I do know that they are worse than we probably have ever seen them in our lifetime. And I pray that you would give us the enthusiasm and the foresight and the focus on Almighty God and the power of God and the Word of God to know that we can operate even in times like these. We don't have to be victims of circumstances. We can rise above with the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his word. Lord, I pray that today we might see there is something we can do in times like these. We don't have to go fishing. Thank you so much for loving each and every one of us. Thank you for this great nation you've given us that we're recognizing this weekend and the many service members that have given their lives down through the years and the men that shed their blood for this country. Most of all, Lord Jesus, for you who said, shed your blood, not just for this country, but for the world. And we're so thankful for that blood that was shed and that we can be saved as a result of that and enjoy heaven one day. And we know the times that we see won't always be. There will be better times ahead. But in times like these, Lord, help us to gird up our loins and be sober, and be vigilant, knowing that we have an adversary out there as a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour, and he's using the political and the moral compass of today to defeat us in our attitude and in our courage and our convictions. Lord, may today we say, I'm going to stand for that which is right. I'm going to stand in times like these. Thank you for loving us. Lord, there's one amongst us that's lost this morning. They don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. May they truly look to Jesus today to be born again, to be saved. They could know Christ personally for themselves, have remission of sins, repent of those same sins, and receive eternal life. Thank you for loving us. Meet our need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And we do have one more special.
How I love the name Jesus.
appreciate that blessing, that message and song as well. You know, in times like these, we need to say the name of Jesus, call on him for the help that we need, and get that which only he can give to us. Amen. And that is the crux of what we're dealing with here, dealing with in times like these. And I don't know about you, but I look around and I see everything that's going on in America right now. And, you know, there are a lot of things that I remember about this America. And there are certain things I look at about this America, and I think, this is not America. This is not the America that I know. It's not the America that I'm used to. There's something that's changing. There's something that's different about this America that I grew up with. And, you know, there's a time when, I don't know about you, where you lived at, but we could go outside and my mother didn't have to worry about us going across the field and down the street. We could leave our doors open. And I mean, we could just do that. You could leave your cars unlocked and leave valuables in there. And you didn't have to worry about that. And now, you know, you can't leave anything unlocked. You know, and even if it is locked, they'll break in. There was a time we didn't worry about that. I mean, we left things out all night long. I don't know about you, where you came from, but where I came from, you could leave things out for weeks on end and no one would take it. But now that's not so. There was a time we could go to our neighbors and borrow sugar and eggs and milk and flour and things like that that we didn't have. We could borrow some bacon. You can't do that now. Say, preacher, why? Somebody may poison you. You don't know. You can't trust people these days. Now, I'm not saying it's like that every place, but some places are. In our text, at John chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, we see Peter going fishing and taking a group of disciples with him. These were definitely changing times, and there had not been any times like these. I think you would agree with me that this was the only time that Jesus died for the sins of the world. This was the only time that he was buried. This is the only time that he rose again the third day. This is the only time where they were changing from the Old Testament law to the New Testament, from law to grace. This was the only time. So there were no other times like these at this time. Nonetheless, this was no time to go back fishing. I think you would agree with me as well. There's no times like these that we've experienced before, where same-sex marriage has been legalized by our Supreme Court. I think you would agree with me that we're not used to that. And the transgender bathroom using, where guys and gals can use the same bathroom. That these are unusual times. We've not seen that before. Unless you walked in the bathroom by accident, which I've done at Walmart on occasion. When I saw there were multiple stalls, I knew immediately I was in the wrong place, because men only have a couple stalls. Amen. And we have a bunch of urinals. And when I see no urinal, I get alarmed. There's transgender bathrooms. There's abortions on the rise. People are shacking up. Teen pregnancy is on the rise. And we look at America and the bombs that are going off in America. We thought at one time this was a safe place, but then 9-1-1 took place. And then we found that, they're right amongst us. I was reading a book recently that was written years ago. I think it was written probably back, not years ago, but I would say probably in the late 80s or 90s. And the guy, the author, said this. He said that there are terrorist cells all across America, even right now. We're talking back in the 80s. He wrote this book. He said terrorist cells are all across America right now, he said, and we don't even realize. He said they are already strategically placed. They are planned. They know where they want to bomb. They know where they want to hit. They've been funded, and they have the bombs already. He said they just haven't done it yet. He said they're just waiting for the right moment to unleash their terror on America. And this is back in the 80s this was written. And back then, we were oblivious. Nobody's going to touch America. This is America. You know who we are? I know who we used to be. I know who we were once upon a time. So the times that the disciples found themselves could parallel us, that there were unusual times. There were things that had never taken place that began to take place, and they were a little afraid and discouraged about some things here. But notice verse 1. I want to point out something. After these things, Jesus, notice what the Bible says, showed himself, what's that word? Again. So this wasn't the first time that the disciples saw Jesus Christ. Go back to chapter number 20. They had already seen Jesus before and had already been commissioned to be fishers of men. Notice chapter 20 and verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So they had already been commissioned here in chapter number 20. They had also been warned that this was not going to be an easy life. Go back to chapter 16. And in chapter 16, notice verse number 33. Jesus, of course, speaking here. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Notice that. "In the world ye shall have" what? "Tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Jesus said, "You know what? I'm letting you know up front before it happens that it's not going to be easy. Now, your job may be easy, but I guarantee you the people you work with aren't. You got some difficult people to work with. Why? They're people of the world. It may be a boss, maybe a supervisor, maybe someone else in that area, but sooner or later you're going to come across somebody that's a little bit hard to work with. Why? In the world, you're going to have tribulation in this world system. What happened to the disciples? Obviously, from their perspective, they assumed times had changed and things had changed for the worse. Jesus, yes, we saw him and he commissioned us, but it's not what we thought. And so things they thought had changed for the worse. They were discouraged and ready to quit the faith and go back fishing. It didn't turn out the way they thought it would have turned out. Now, if you were honest, how many of y'all would be honest and say, "You know what, this past year turned out exactly like I thought it was going to turn out. I mean, it turned out picture perfect, just like I planned it, just like I thought." If you're like me, it didn't turn out that way. You had some things that happened that you wish didn't happen. You had some circumstances that arose that you wish never arisen. There's some things that happened that if you could turn back the hand of time, you'd change it, but it was the will of God for it to happen. And in times like these, we've got to trust in a God that knows the end from the beginning. Amen. The disciples need to do the same thing. In times like these, when things seem to be changing for the worse and not the better, it's not time for us to quit the faith, but continue the faith for the cause of Christ. Our monthly verse last month was 1 Corinthians 16:13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the face." Faith. "Quit ye like men, be strong." Now think about that. Watch ye, be vigilant. Stand fast in the faith. Believe the word of God and stand on it. "Quit you like men." Be a man. Don't be a wimp. Don't be a pansy. Be a man. You say, "Well, I can't be a man. I'm a woman." It's just the phraseology. Be tough and stand. Stand fast in the faith. "Quit you like men. Be strong." What do we as New Testament Christians do in times like these? Well, one thing we can do, pick up your hymn book for a second. There's a song that was written many years ago, page 452. And today is just the introduction to the series of messages that I'm going to be preaching. 452, in times like these. Not a very old song at all, written by Ruth K. Jones. She lived from 1902 to 1972. Copyrighted this in 1944. 452 says, "In times like these, you need a Savior." You know, one thing I can tell you that you need in times like these, you need to be saved. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. You need Jesus Christ. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You can anchor yourself in a whole lot of things, but my friend, if you don't anchor yourself in Jesus Christ, then you're going to go adrift. You're going to go afloat. And you're not going to get to the desired destination that you want to get to. Notice the second stanza. Times like these, you need the Bible. I can tell you this, in times like this, we need the Bible. The person that gets away from the Word of God and does not read the Word of God, you're destined for trouble, heartache, headache, and woe.
You can say all you want to. Well, you know, I read my Bible all the time, but how much of the Bible that you read do you do? Preacher, don't go there. We've got to. Because it's not going to help me if I don't put it into practice. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. My mother used to tell me growing up, the idle mind is the devil's workshop, boy. She said, boy, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. You need to do something. Don't just sit there. And she'd give me some chores to do.
That's good.
Amen. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is none other than Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, God's only son. He doesn't have multiple sons. He's only got one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Let me ask you a question. Where is your anchor and where is it holding on to? If it's not Jesus, you're not going to make it. Changing times like these, the folks in Florida, I don't know if you heard about that, they're definitely watching and standing fast in the faith and quitting like men and being strong. How many of y'all heard of the Florida Pastor Protection Act? Pastors now I'm reading this right off the internet. I get this website connection to Christian Family Coalition in Florida. Pastors now in Florida only. Pastors now legally protected from having to perform same-sex marriages. July 1st, 2016, the day we have all been waiting for, it says, and working for, when the Florida Pastor Protection Act takes effect. Signed by Florida Governor Rick Scott on March 10th, prohibits discrimination against pastors, churches, religious schools, and organizations who refuse to violate their conscience by solemnizing or conducting same-sex marriages in Florida. A new chapter now begins for the state clergy. Clergy, churches, religious schools, and organizations afraid of losing their tax-exempt status in Florida for not performing same-sex marriages or allowing their facilities to be used for such ceremonies now have the full protection of the law. Religious leaders eager to serve their communities but not willing to compromise who they are as individuals will, for the first time ever, be able to openly do so since the U.S. Supreme Court imposed so-called homosexual marriage last year. On March 3rd, 2016, the Florida State Senate voted 23-15 to pass the Florida Pastor Protection Act. What am I saying? In times like these, somebody got busy. Somebody says, you know what, I'm not going to stand for this status quo where I've got to do something that I know is an abomination to God. And I don't have the legal right to stand for what I believe when they have the legal right to stand for what they believe. What I'm saying, somebody did something about it. In times like these, somebody's got to stand for what's right. And in Florida, they stood for what's right. And it got passed. But would to God more states would get together and do that. In times like these, it's tough. But somebody said, you know what? It's tough, but my God's tougher. Hey, that's bad, but my God is a gooder, if we could say that word. I don't care how bad it gets, God's always better. And in Florida, they said, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm tired of getting sued. I'm tired of getting a lawsuit. I'm tired of you doing this. I'm tired of you saying this is all right when God said it ain't okay. Somebody stood up and passed a law and said, look, I've got just as much right to say no that they got a right to get married. If they want to get married, let them go to somebody that's going to marry them.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, folks, when I'm saying that you and I, in times like these, we can't cower down. This is not time to shut up. This is time to speak up. This is not time to be quiet. This is time to say, I'm saved. I'm born again. And what you're doing is not right by God. Now, I'm not saying you become belligerent. I'm not saying you browbeat them. I'm not saying that you get ugly with them. But let them know, this is how I stand. And if you want to believe that way, I believe this way. And I beg to disagree with how you believe. And I got somebody on my side who's higher than your courts. You may have the Supreme Court, but I got the Savior's Court. Amen. And I'm glad in Florida they did that. And they made a difference. What am I saying? In times like this, they said, you know what? We're not going to cower down. We're not going to shut up down here in Florida. We don't like that, and we don't believe that. And there's got to be a way that we can have just as much right as they can have. What am I saying? In times like these. Several of the messages that I'm going to be talking about here in the days ahead. Let me give you some of those topics. Number one, and hopefully we'll start on this one today. In times like these, we need to stay focused. We need to stay focused on Christ when the world distracts us. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He never said, look unto the world. He never said, look around you. He never said, look at each other. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so one of the main things that you and I have to do as Christians, stay focused. A brother or sister may fall. A relative may go down and start believing something that never should have believed in the first place. Laws may be passed. Our job is not to be concerned about that, but to focus on Jesus. In times like these, you need to focus on Jesus. I need to focus. Hey, he's the anchor. He's the only one. Our laws are changing. When President Obama started, he was against gay marriage, and now, well, I've evolved. Why are you going to evolve into some foolishness like that? Well, I've been listening, and you've been listening to the wrong people. Because if you listen to God, he'd have told you that is wrong. So if you're evolving, I hate to see where you're going to end up. Amen. So in times like these, stay focused on Christ when the world distracts us, looking unto Jesus. Another topic we want to look at is in times like these, stay faithful in the word of God when the truth seems to evade us. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oftentimes, Pilate said it this way, what is truth? What they have done is taking what you and I have held to so dearly and twisted it. I manipulated it and made it seem like what they're doing is right and what we're doing is wrong. Well, and this is the argument. Well, if we love each other, then what's wrong with two ladies marrying each other? If we love each other, what's wrong with two men marrying each other? The main thing wrong with it is not love, it's lust. You read the Bible. He said, in their lust, one to another. God never said anything about loving in that fashion. Now, David loved Jonathan, but that's a different type of relationship. Times like these, stay faithful in the word when truth seems to evade us. They will try to twist of the truth. Another topic is in times like these, stay friendly toward others when hate surrounds us. Jesus said, the love of many is going to wax cold. Let it not be the Christian. Everybody's got hate out there. They're hating on this and hating on this and hating on that. The Christian needs to be loved. Why? God is love. And you and I have got to say, hey, look, in times like these when everybody's hating on everybody, I cannot let myself get caught up in that. Somebody's got to stand for love. Somebody's got to hand out. I don't see Jesus being hateful to anybody. And it's so easy to get caught up in that when you know they're wrong and when you know they persist. And when they get belligerent with you, it's so easy to get sucked into that hatred and that tit for tat and that, well, you wrong me and I'll wrong you, that grudging spirit. It's so easy. It doesn't take much to do that. But it takes a child of God who knows God and has experienced God's love to say, you know what, you may hate me, but I'm not going to let that hate get me. I'm not going to let it overcome me. I'm going to overcome your evil with God's good. So in times like these, stay friendly toward others when hate surrounds us, when the love of many is going to wax cold. Times like these, stay fixed in church when people disappoint us. Come on, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Stay fixed in the house of God. People are going to disappoint you. Mark her down. People are going to let you down.
Yes, they are.
Put it in your mind. Fix it in your heart. Somebody's going to let you down. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to hurt you. Don't blame it on God's house. That's the first thing Christians do. Well, if you really were a Christian, you wouldn't have did that. Well, la-di-da, if you really were a Christian, you wouldn't do what you do either. Come on now.
Amen.
But when somebody does it to us, oh, I'm going to quit church, like the church did something wrong to you. We wrestle not against flesh and the blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places, you can't see the evil, so if you blame it on somebody, you got the wrong entity already. Times like these, stay fixed in church when people disappoint us. You find Paul getting beat up and let down every time. He kept going back to church after church after church. and some churches several times after being hated on and disappointed and let down. Another topic is, in times like these, stay firm in your faith when doubt overwhelms us. Stay firm. The man came to Jesus to get his child healed, and he said, all things are possible thou believest. He said, I believe, but help them unbelief. There's a part of me that doesn't believe. There's going to be a time, with times like these, that you and I got to be firm in our faith when doubt overwhelms us, and we look at how things are going on, and they're passing this law, and they're passing that law, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and if I spank my child, I'm getting arrested, and CPS, and all this. Lord, I don't believe anymore. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. In times like these, stay firm in your faith when doubt seems to overwhelm us. Another topic is, in times like these, stay fit in our walk when life tries us. Do you know you're going to go through some trials in life? I'm just, from panning across this room, I see trials. Brother Duffy's got trials. There's trials here. There's trials there. There's trials. Everybody's got a trial. Everybody's got a trial. But you know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He said, when I'm tried, I'm going to come forth as gold. You know, the only way you're going to come forth as gold is to be gold. Come on now. You can't try something that's not gold and have it come out as gold. You got to be gold first and get the impurities taken off. Job said, when he's through with me and my trials, I'm fit. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be better. We've got to see, in times like these, this is not the time to go fishing. This is the time to say, you know what? Times are changing. Yes, they are. But my God is unchanging. Times like these, stay fit in our walk when life tries us. Then we're going to look at this. In times like these, stay constructive in our relationship when loyalty fails us. Listen up now. Stay constructive in our relationships when loyalty fails us. The person that's loyal to you today may become disloyal tomorrow. It could be a husband. It could be a wife. It could be a parent. It could be a daughter. It could be a child. It could be a relative. It could be a friend. It could be a boss. It could be a coworker. It could be a neighbor. And your job and my job is to stay constructive in our relationships when loyalty fails us. Don't just throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, you know what? I ain't going to trust nobody. I don't trust nobody. Just me and myself. Now you're really in trouble. Now you're really in trouble when you trust you and yourself. I only trust me, myself, and I. Those are three enemies that you got to worry about. Amen. But you have those that, when relationships go awry and they're not loyal, they say, well, that's it. I give up on all relationships. No, you just have to be constructive and find out, Lord, how can I get back into relationships, making sure that I'm wise in what I do? I've got the Word of God to guide me. I've got the Spirit of God to guide me. I'm not getting in myself into a mess. So we've got to stay constructive in our relationships when loyalty fails us, because some people are going to let you down. Times like these, stay consistent, consistently growing when complacency tempts us. You know, you get in that place called the doldrums, and you just kind of own automatic pilot. This is the way we pray. This is the way we read our Bible. This is the way we go to church. This is the way we listen to the sermon. This is the way we sing. This is the way we pray. This way we serve God. This way we soul win. This way we get off a track. Complacent. Complacent. You know, God does not want. You know that your body is never complacent? Did you know that the Christian is likened to the body? The church is likened to the body? The body is constantly growing, constantly changing. There's something going on. The Christian should be constantly growing. And so in times like this, we've got to stay consistently growing when complacency tempts us. The Bible says this way, but grow in grace. He didn't say stop growing. His words were, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow as the word made. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You have not arrived. I have not arrived. There are more places for us to grow besides the belly. Amen. Now we can grow in a whole lot of places bodily, but we need to grow spiritually. And especially in times like this, they're not getting any better. Have you noticed that lately? And by the way, it's going to go from bad to worse. The Antichrist needs something that he can take over that's more on his speed. And what better than have same-sex marriage and all this wickedness going on here and lawlessness and everybody who's evil has the upper hand and the Christian has the lower hand. I've got to be able to inherit something and step into this society, so to speak, with the upper hand where they'll want me in charge. Can you imagine Huckabee winning the presidency? And if he stood for the Bible, they wouldn't want him in charge. He'd knock down abortion. He'd knock down same-sex marriage. He'd probably knock down Obamacare. He'd probably knock down a whole bunch of stuff that Obama put up there. Unless he put down there in parentheses, and this cannot be broken or something like that. What am I saying? People want lawlessness. They want to do what they want to do. Let's just be honest. Don't you want to do what you want to do? All of us want to do what we want to do. The only thing that separates us from them is this book and the Spirit of God. Because you want to do what you want to do just as much as I want to do what I want to do. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of y'all wanted to get up and come to church this morning and get out of your bed? No, none of you did. There maybe was a few of y'all say, "Ooh, I can't wait to go to church today. Woo-hoo!" Pop that alarm clock. "Ooh, I don't need no alarm clock today, boy." Brush the wonderful grace of Jesus. Got your clothes on. Then, come on, kids, let's go to church now. Hey, man, we're going to have a good time today. No, you was fussing. Get out of that bed. Brush your teeth. Come on, comb your hair. What are you doing? Don't you know we got to go to church? It's a totally different attitude. We want to do what we want to do. And sometimes we don't want to come to church, if you're honest. Especially when Super Bowl on. And some of y'all just don't come. It'd be like me, you watch it on your phone. Amen. In times like these, they consistently growing when complacency tempts us. Then another one is, in times like these, stay conscious of his coming when hope flees us. You know, that's one of the hardest things to wait. You know, we talk about Jesus could come today, and he might. But when he doesn't come, you think, he didn't come today, Brother Duffy. Another day with the walker, he didn't come. Then tomorrow, he didn't come. Another day with the walker, then he doesn't come. And sometimes we lose hope. And we say, when, Lord? Lord, when are you going to come? When? I go through these trials, I go through this pain, I go through this hurt, I go through these times, Lord. When are you going to come? And we start losing hope. And then we start doing things that we normally wouldn't do because we think he might not come today. In times like these, stay conscious of his coming when hope flees us. Paul reminded the Thessalonica church over and again about Jesus' return. And then finally, in times like these, stay composed in our heart when trials surround us. You know, the Bible says that we need to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that sends us with meekness and fear. And James said it this way, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, when they're all around you. In times like these, stay composed in our heart when trials surround us. The place that we first lose it is in our heart and our mind. And then that translates across to what we do. So in the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about these topics to help us out in times like these, because the times are upon us. Whether you know it or not, they're here. And the times are here because we know Christians are going fishing right now when Christians should be joining in the battle. And they should be doing what's right. And my son just asked me a question just recently and said, "Well, why don't all the Christians do this?" And I said, "Son, we can't answer for every Christian. But the Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We just have to worry about the Dawson family. And we cannot worry about what other families do except preach the word of God. They answer to God just like we answer to God. And so it is a point of the man wants to die and then the judgment. And so, son, let's just make sure that we do what we have to do, what we know is right to do to be pleasing to God. Because we're going to give account of ourselves to God. And every other Christian will do the same." And I gave him a parallel. And I said, "Well, at your school," I said, "what's the dress code? Everybody's supposed to wear a collared shirt and this and that and the other." I said, "How many kids wear a collared shirt every day?" "Well, not many." I said, "I rest my case." I said, "And they all know they're supposed to, right?" I said, "Amen." So what should we do in changing times like these? By the way, times have always been hard for Christians. Did you know that? The times have always been difficult for Christians. Nothing new about that. Well, first of all, let's stay focused on Christ when the world distracts us. Let's take just a few minutes to look at that. Go over to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Just for a few moments here, and then we're going to close. What should we do in changing times like this? First of all, stay focused on Christ when the world distracts us. God never told us to focus on Christ. Hebrews chapter, focus on the world, I'm sorry, but focus on Christ. Hebrews chapter number 12. The book of Hebrews is coming off of chapter 11, which is a faith chapter, and they are being encouraged to continue in their faith and focus on Jesus Christ. Chapter 11 gives the momentum for the Jews' encouragement, especially since many of the brethren of the Old Testament had come by faith this far. And he's getting them to focus on Jesus and the many brethren. We should, number one, remember our focus in times like these. Notice verse number 2 of chapter 12. Looking unto, who is that? Jesus. Hey, what the song say? Starting off, in times like this, you need a what? A Savior. In times like this, you need a Savior. Looking unto Jesus was the first thing our focus in times like these needs to be. Focusing on Jesus. By the way, the focus in this race is Jesus. He is at the finish line. He's the author and he's the finisher. He's the one that we're looking at. The distractions are going to be there and they'll be plentiful. But he says, looking unto Jesus. Now, I guarantee you, with the Olympics coming up, Usain Bolt is not going to win many games if he's looking to his left and looking to his right whilst he's running towards the finish line. He might actually even trip over his own feet. I don't know about you, but I can't look to my left and my right and run straight. Have you ever tried that driving? You look behind you while you got your hand on the steering wheel? And you automatically go that way. And some of you get smart and say, well, I know I'm going to go that way, so I'm going to compensate. And you turn around, guess which way you're going then? The other way. You're not going straight. What am I saying? Remembering our focus in times like these. Times like these when all the world around us is changing and distracting us, our focus should be Jesus. Hebrews 13:8 says it this way, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Malachi 3:6 says it this way, for I am the Lord, I change not. In times like these, we need our focus on someone that is not going to change and shift with the moral compass of society or the moral majority of the times. That person, his name is Jesus, and he is the one who saved us. And he's the one that we say we believe in. He's the one that we say we trust in. And so our focus should be on him. You say, preacher, our focus should be on him? Yes. Whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, next month, or the end of the year, we're going to physically see Jesus. One way or another. So our focus now should be Jesus. Why? Jesus is our example as we focus. Notice it says, looking unto Jesus. It doesn't say looking unto anybody else. Looking unto Jesus. He's our example. Looking means to consider attentively. It's not a passing glance, but it's a fixed stare. But don't you hate it when people stare at you?
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Because you're trying to figure out what they're staring at. It says looking unto, it's a stare. It's a gaze. And he said, looking unto Jesus, keep him in focus. And wherever he goes, you go. And you ever find yourself staring at somebody and wherever they go, and you lost focus of everybody and everything else? I remember we were in New Jersey one time. We took my cousin Rodney with us. And my nephew was standing over here, sitting over here doing something. I don't know what he was doing. But my cousin's staring at him. And my nephew noticed that he was being stared at. And he said the obvious. He said, what you looking at? And we just died laughing. Because he didn't even know he was looking at him that hard and staring at him that hard. And my nephew had just got enough of that. He said, what you looking at? I hope you found whatever it was you was looking for. I'm not changing. But you know, we can look at Jesus and stare at him all day. And he's not going to get tired of it. We can look at Jesus till times get tough. It's looking unto Jesus. To gaze, fix our stare upon him. We could use some tunnel vision or blinders at times to see only Jesus. And so as our stare gazes upon Jesus, we're only going to see him by the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot see him any other way. You're not going to see him in the world. You've got to have spiritual eyes. You've got to have the Spirit of God. You've got to have the Word of God. You're not going to see him any other way. I'm sorry. So if you're not in the Bible, you're not going to see him. What you see is not going to be Jesus. I guarantee you. It'll be the Jesus that Robert Schuller saw, that 900-foot-tall Jesus that threatened to kill him if he didn't raise money. That'll be the one that you see. But you're not going to see the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus is our example as we focus. Jesus is our entry point as we focus. It says he's the author, the chief leader, the captain, the prince. We got in the race by getting saved through Jesus. We start with him by faith, and the race continues by faith with him, and we focus on him. He's the example, he's the entry point, and he's also the exit point. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the completer. He's the consummator. We'll end the race with Jesus in view. Our faith will become sight, and we see him. 1 John 3:2 says it this way, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." So Jesus is our example. Looking unto Jesus, he's our entry point as we focus. He's the author. He's the exit point as we focus. He's the finisher of our faith. But he's also the enduring point as we focus. Notice what it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross. He had to go through that time. But he did it with joy, knowing that was going to happen afterwards. You know, in times like these, we got some times that we don't like. I don't like same-sex marriage any more than you, but I know it exists. I know it's legal, but I don't like it. I know transgender bathroom usage is legal. It's passed. And I don't like it any more than you. In times like these, you and I have to look unto Jesus. He's our example. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus go and start lobbying and getting all upset about this thing? Or would he just continue with the truth? I think he would just continue with the truth and call sin, sin. By the way, ironically, just give this to you, a bit of information. You don't find Jesus trying to change any civil laws when he was on earth. Can I get an amen? You don't find Jesus saying, well, let's not do what Caesar said. Let's do this. You just find Jesus saying, this is what God said. This is what God said. People are going to either hate it or they're going to let it help them. But you don't find Jesus going to try to change any civil law. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. As newborn babes desire the sincere glory that ye may grow thereby. Jesus didn't. He didn't start changing a bunch of civil laws. He didn't start telling people, well, you just need to go against what they say. He said, just obey my Father. Now, you might get in trouble if you obey my Father. In the world, you shouldn't have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy road when you obey this book. But he didn't say go out and start changing laws. Now, I'm glad we have the privilege to do that. I'm glad we are in a nation when we can do things like that. When we think a law is unjust or immoral, we can do that, like Florida. I'm glad we can do that. But what if we can and what if we don't? Jesus still said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We may have to endure times like these. But Jesus had joy. He endured the cross. Despising the shame, set down the right hand of the throne of God. And so he is our example as we focus. He's our entry point as we focus. He's our exit point, and he's our enduring point as we focus. Joy there means cheerful, calm delight, a gladness. Endured means to stay under or behind, remain or undergo, or to bear trials. Despising the shame means to think against or look down upon. Times like these times that we are going through right now will not always be. And we will not always be in these times. Some will graduate and go home to glory early. Some will go through these times and some will actually get the rapture out of here. And then these times that we see will become increasingly worse. Increasingly worse. Jacob's trouble, the Bible calls it. But in the midst of Jacob getting his trouble, guess what? The rest of the world that rejected Jesus Christ will get caught up in that same Jacob's trouble. Oh, yeah, the Jews are going to catch it a whole lot worse. But you'll have Gentiles taking their share as well. The Antichrist is going to take no prisoners. Folks, what do we do in times like these? We've got to stay focused. We've got to stay focused on Jesus Christ. We've got to keep our eyes on him. Yes, this world is going bad. Yes, things are being passed that we don't like. Yes, it's happening all around us, but we've got to keep gazing and staring at Jesus, and you'll never hear Jesus say, "What are you looking at?" Because he knows exactly what you're looking at. Let me close by saying this. You can't look unto Jesus unless you've actually looked unto him to be your Savior first and foremost. He's got to be your Savior. In times like these, the song says you need a Savior. You need a Savior. His name is Jesus. He's the rock. If you died right now, are you sure that heaven is your home? If you're not sure, God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, if you believe, the Bible says, then you have life. It says, if you don't believe, the wrath of God abides on you right now. John 3:36. Where are you at today? In times like these, you cannot go with the times. You've got to go with the Savior. Times are going to change. Jesus will not. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Maybe today you need to come and give your life to Jesus Christ and be repentant of your sins and get remission of your sins. This invitation is for you. If you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. You can look unto Jesus and he can be your author and he can be your finisher of your faith. And you can be gloriously born again today. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Where are you at today when it comes to Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Have you been saved? And does your life show it? I'm not just talking about a profession of faith that you made. Therefore, if any man be Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are you growing in grace? Did you stick with the stuff? Is your life different, markedly different than what it used to be? If you need to be saved, would you come during the invitation? Christian, these times are not going to get any better. In times like these, you need a Savior. You need the Bible. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. Are you looking unto Jesus today, Christian? Are you staying focused on him? Are you looking in the Word of God to find him, to find his will? I am the Lord, he changes not. Following Jesus' example, his entry point, his exit point, his enduring point in your focus. Because Jesus knows these times better than anyone. With every head bowed and every eye closed, when looking around. How many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am born again. I've repented of my sins and received Jesus Christ. And my life shows it. And by testimony of raising your hand, you say, I know I'm born again. You raise your hand all across this room. Preacher, I know I'm born again. My life has changed markedly. I'm different. I'm not the same person I used to be. Amen. Amen. All across this room, you may put him down. How many would say, preacher, you know, I can't answer that. I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. But I'm not 100% positive. Would you pray for me that I can get that difficulty settled? All across this room, you raise that hand. Amen. I see one. I see two. Amen. Is there a third? Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm concerned about it. Please pray for me. I won't point you out. I won't pick you out. I'll just acknowledge you. Put your hand right back down. Anyone else join these two? And then lastly, Christian, how about you? You say, I am born again, preacher. If I died, I know I am going to heaven. But, you know, times like these, it's difficult. And I need to focus on Jesus Christ. I need to make sure Jesus is the one that I'm looking unto. He's my author, my finisher of my faith. He endured. Preacher, would you pray that I could stay focused on Jesus? So much of the world distracts me. Pray that I can stay focused. And you raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. So much about the world distracts me today. Pray for me, preacher. Raise that hand. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. Amen. You may put them down. If you're like many of us, the world does distract us at our jobs and our homes, on television, on the computer, wherever we go. Father, bless now these that are unsure that heaven is their home. Give them the assurance by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that they can be born again today. Man or woman, a boy or girl, help them to come forward and let us take the Bible and show them how they can be saved before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for loving us. Meet our need, Lord. Some said that they have situations that are times like these. They're difficult times. Situations going on. They want to stay focused, looking unto Jesus. So much of this world distracts them. And God, I believe that's all of us at one time or another. And we need to stay fixed and focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help us that struggle, that get so easily distracted by the things going on around us. We get so easily discouraged. We get so easily disappointed. We get so disheartened when we see our nation that once stood for righteousness going in a path, it seems, of no return. Help us to still, in times like these, stand like the Christians in Florida stood. Help us at our jobs to stand, in our homes to stand, in society to stand, with relatives to stand, with friends to stand. Help us to stand for Jesus' sake and for the cause of souls. Save souls. Encourage Christians in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me extend this invitation to you today. If God's spoken to your heart about any need in your life, would you please come down to an old-fashioned altar and kneel? Give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to be saved today, if you're unsure that heaven is your home, would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today? It won't take but a few moments of your time, but you'll get the assurance that your destiny, your future, even in times like this, is sealed with Jesus Christ, and He can be your Savior. Would you come today as the music plays? God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come. Times like these are not easy. We know Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Would you come? Christian, maybe you need to come pray for a loved one that's not looking unto Jesus. Or maybe they're distracted with the world's events. Let's take courage. Look at what happened in Florida. It can happen in Arizona. It can happen in your home state. Are we distracted today? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Would you like to be born again? Sir, ma'am, young person, the Bible is still here. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Would you come? Would you come? Christians are praying. How about you? What is it about this world that distracts you from looking unto Jesus? Keep the gaze on Jesus. Keep the stare on Jesus. Keep looking unto Him. He's your author. He's your finisher. He's your protector. He's your healer. He's your refuge. He's your rock. He's your anchor. He's the refuge that you need. He's the one that you can call upon in the midnight hours. He's the one that can uplift you and help you rise above the world's problems. Would you like to be saved? The Bible is here. Oh, please don't leave without getting that thing settled with Jesus Christ today. But you know, in the world, we're going to have tribulations. Oh, it may not start tomorrow. It may not start tonight. It may start back up on Tuesday. It may start back up on Wednesday. Or maybe some unforeseen circumstances may happen. Still look unto Jesus. Maybe some health issues, still look unto Jesus. Maybe some employment issues, still look unto Jesus. Or maybe some conduct issues with your children, still look unto Jesus. Maybe some issues with your husband or your wife, still look unto Jesus. Maybe some issues with the in-laws or with your friends, still look unto Jesus. Maybe some issues with the state or with the city, still look unto Jesus. Whatever it is, still look unto Jesus. Why? He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He is the one who doesn't change. When society and the moral majority is constantly shifting and changing. Preacher, what can we do in times like these? Stay focused. Stay focused when the world distracts us. Look unto Jesus. Father, thank you once again for a meeting with us today. Lord, we looked at many topics today, many things that we will discuss in days ahead. And well, they're all relevant to where we live and what we go through on a regular basis. But God, help us to do the first step first. Lord, to raise their hand saying that they're not sure that heaven is their home. Give them assurance of their salvation. Lord, convict them and then allow them to confess their sins to Jesus Christ that they may be converted and be saved, for it's everlasting too late. Give them that courage to do so. Lord, then us Christians that get easily distracted, get discouraged, get disheartened, get disillusioned, oh, God, help us to look unto Jesus. I'm the Lord, you said, you change not. Jesus Christ, you said, you're the same today, yesterday, forever. So, Lord, would you help us to focus on you in these changing times, to see the unchanging God that we so desperately need to see. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting our need. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings. Bring us back safely tonight to get more of a blessing from your word.